ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Now we're up to, which is called the History of the Life of Ajamiya, text number 7 this morning. Sukadeva Goswami responding to the question of Maharaj Pushan. Sri Shukaha Vacha Na Chittin Yatta Amhasaha Chittasya Kuryat Manaha Kukta Anibihi Dhruvam Saha Vai Pretya Narakan Paiti Ye Kirtita Me Bhavataha Sigma Yatana Sri Shuka Uvacha Nachedi Haivo Pachitam Yatam Hasa Kritasya Kuryan Mana Upta Parihi Dhruvam Savai Precha Narakan Upaiti Ekirtita Me Bhavata Stigma Yatana Vamsavai Precha Narakan Upaiti Ekirtita Me Bhavata Stigma Yatana Yishuka Vacha Nachedi Haiva Pachitin Yathahasa Kritasya Kuryan Mana Upta Panibihi Vamsa Vai Precha Narakan Upaiti Ekirtita Me Bhavata Stigma Yatana Wait a minute, let somebody else do it. You can listen a little more, okay?
Thank you.
Sinful activities.
Kuriya
performs. Manaha with the mind. Ukta words. Panihi and with the senses. Dhruvam undoubtedly. Saha that person. Vai indeed. Pretya after death. Narakan. Different varieties of hellish conditions. Upaiti. Attains. Ye.
Which.
Kirtita. Were already described.
May
by me. Bhavataha unto you. Tigma
yatanaha,
in which there is very terrible suffering. Translate. Shukdev Goswami replied, my dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious activities one has performed in this life, with his mind, words, and body, are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that although Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee, Sukadeva Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mam Chayo Abhyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samiti Jayatan Brahma Guryaya Kalpate. Devotional service is done. That even if that, if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes full devotional service, the reactions of his sinful life immediately stop. Elsewhere, in the Gita 18:66, Lord Krishna urges that one give up all other duties and surrender to him, and he promises, Aham Pram Sarva Papevyo Moksha Yishyami, I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principle of bhakti. But to test Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to karma kanda, the path of curative activities. For karma kanda, there are 80 authorized scriptures, such as Manu Samhita, which are known as dharma shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract his sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive action. This was the path first recommended by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and actually, it is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. This is known as atonement. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Prasthaya Bhutale Mati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Damani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Kacharane Nidishesha Sudhivaru Paschacha Deshi Kadami Om Mangyanam Himurandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakra Nindavitam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kavutva Kudyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheva Shatati Kanam Bhavane Dio Vaisnave Dio Namo Namaha. So for those who are just joining in, give you a little background. This is the beginning of the sixth canto, and at the end of the fifth canto, that ends with a detailed and terrifying description of the various hells that people go into for punishment of sinful activity. And so, Maharaj Pritchard, kind of gives a review at this point, starting with this canto. He says, you've already described to me, which is in the second canto, the Nivritti Marga, the path of transcendence, by which one goes up. He mentions it as a gradual path by which one gradually goes through become free from all kinds of reactions, sinful reactions, and attains liberation. And then he says, and then you've also described the Pravritti Marga, by which one goes up and comes back down again to the heavenly planets and comes back down. And then you've also described the hellish planets just down. To me. And you've all described the whole universe and all the different situations in the universe, and the kind of place where all this happens. And then he says, Sukadeva, he calls him Mahabhaga, and greatly fortunate and opulent, Sukadeva Goswami. Now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. That's his concern. Having heard this description, how can they be stopped from going to these kinds of hellish conditions? So, here Shukadeva begins his answer, and his first answer is the recommendation of the fruitive activity. It's called the karma kanda section of the Vedas. Prabhupada said just to test him, but he refers to force. He says this very, very nice. In this life, one performs impious activities or sinful activities. And notice he says here, with the mind, with the words, and with the senses. Even thinking of a sinful activity. So this is called bad karma. You are producing a future result. Because the result of sin is suffering. So, and this suffering is there. It's all around us in our world. People are suffering. We understand by the laws of karma, we are suffering from past sinful activities. And so if one has committed these various sorts of sinful activities and have not counteracted them, he's used this word here, apatitim, counteraction, expiation. And Prabhupada says atonement. That's the actual original use of the word atonement. It shows up in the English language in the 16th century. And the first is the verb, atone. But it's written at one. And it means there's been a quarrel or a separation and you've become separated. So now you've atoned, you've become one together. That's the original meaning of the word atonement, is this kind of reconciliation. Then it becomes to mean other things, but that's the original meaning. So here Prabhupada using it just for this counteraction, expiation. One has done something, and the original Latin meaning of expiate means to perform some sacrifice to remove some punishment or something we've done wrong. We perform some ritual and gets rid of the sin. It's a kind of cleansing process. Right? So here, when these sins are not counteracted through proper atonement, and what's there is in the Manusamhita and other Dharma Shastras. Prabhupada mentions there's 80 Dharma Shastras. It was law books, you say. They're law books. But just like today, the law books say, you've done this crime, either a felony, a misdemeanor, and depending on that, then there's a punishment. Right? There's, according to the crime, you know, you have to do this or do that, pay a fine, go to jail, do community service, all kinds of different things, how much of a fine, or you can be killed. Prabhupada talks about this in the next verse, capital punishment. Some crimes are so severe that they want to. You have to pay for it with your life. But the Dharma Shastras, everybody has these law books which have mentions of different crimes and so really, there are Manusamhita, the Dharma Shastras are law books for humanity. And they're not made up by various congresses and legislative bodies. They're in the Vedas. They're actually standard laws for everybody. So they perform these counteractions. And one will enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering. You don't counteract it by one way or another. And this, every religion has this level where people do some ritual. they've done something sinful and they want to counteract it. And you go to the priest and he says, 15 Hail Marys for our fathers and make a contribution to the fund or something. You do this. And then otherwise you're going to go to hell. If you're Catholic Church, they tell you this, you've done this, and you'll go to hell. I don't know if it's this way anymore, but it used to be in the Roman Catholic Church, they had big books which had exactly said, and there'd be atonement if you had to perform. It's very, there's a real legalistic mind in the Roman Catholic Church inherited from the Roman Empire. And they had it all worked out. Very precise books. The priest would look it up, look at you've done this, you've committed adultery, so this is what you do. Namana Samhita is the same way. And there are other variations of it. And you see people doing like that. Like sometimes we circumambulate covert on hill. And devotees do it, as he says, devotee to Krishna. But you see, other people do it who are on another platform. They've done something horrible, and they're circumambulating Govardhan Hill to expiate, to get rid of their sinful reaction. And it's pretty heavy sometimes. The ones that, what is it? About 13 miles. This is Govardhan Hill is a sacred mountain in Vrindavan. And you circumambulate, it's 13 miles around, something like that, 21 kilometers, 13 miles.
That's a 4.5 hour walk.
Yeah, it's a 4.5 hour walk, and the roads are not nice. It's rough. And you're supposed to walk barefoot, which is the time I did it barefoot the first time, I had bloody rags around my feet. But you think that's tough. You see these people are stretching out full length. A guy will have a rock and he'll stretch out full length, put the rock down, and when he stretches out, he says some prayer. Then he goes to where the rock is, gets up, and then he picks up the rock and again stretches out full length and drops the rock again. This is called Dandavatsya. So he goes around the hill, paying obeisances all the way around. And sometimes they have a pile of rocks. So in each place they do so many. And they go around that way. So they're all trying to expiate their. So this is the karma condescension. One that recommends this. So this is the first thing. Now we will see when he mentions this, Maharaj Prichard is going to object to this. It may atone for this particular sin or other sin that you've committed, but then you go keep on sinning. And generally that tends to be in every religious tradition. A practice. Although you're not supposed to do that. We say, for example, it's an offense to sin on the strength of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra removes so many sinful reactions. But if I do this, I say, I can go out and have a few beers or something and chant Hare Krishna. It's cool. Then you're engaging the Hare Krishna mantra in your sinful activities. But people do this all the time. When I was a kid, I had a friend who was a Catholic, and we used to do things like And he wasn't worried about it, because he said that on Saturday I go and I confess to Jesus. And you tell him? He said, yeah. He said, because if I don't tell him, I'll go to hell. But then he really thought that was a system so that he could sin safely. And so somehow the point had been missed, right? But there are many people are like that. So many people, Jesus died for my sins so I can go on sinning.
Yeah, sure.
This happens everywhere. So this is the karma kanda view, so now Prabhupada here cuts to the chase, as we say, comes to the point right away, the strength of devotional service. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 14:26, mamsayog avyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate. One who is engaged in devotional service, avyavichara, unwavering devotional service. It's not on and off again, but it's a steady devotional service in a very committed way. Sadhunan samiti chetam, it becomes goes above the modes of material nature. It means you're liberated, and therefore, not liberated means not only from sinful activities, but also the results of your pious activities. Because if you perform materially pious activities, you give in charity, for example. Let's say, here's how karma works. This is a very good cause. We're helping people out. So I'm going to give in charity. And all the religions say, Manu Samhita, everywhere, you give so much money to others in charity and help relieve them of their suffering. In the future, you'll get it back. Increase. God will return it to you. And Christians who don't believe in a second birth, they think it's going to happen this life. So they think that God makes you rich. Because everything you do is like you give it and then it comes back to you 100-fold. They just say in the next birth something this will happen. The point is you have to take birth again to get that money. See, you think that's great, I'll be born rich, but the disadvantage is birth, death, old age, and disease are going to be there. You need to have money. You're still in the material world. So the result of pious activity is you get a nice material situation. But it's a material situation. And again, it wears out. And you may commit another sinful reaction, sinful activity. If you look at it and you see how here it says in your thoughts and your words and your deeds, most people are going on, they're just sin production machines. There's so many things you do. If you're driving a car and you kill so many living entities, that's simple. You killed them. That's just driving your car. Look at the windshield. It's a death machine. And you killed them. He's going to the multiplex to see a movie, and the death rate is incredible. And you've taken and robbed the lives of these things. That's why the Jains, when they try to minimize this, they want to be not cause harm to any living entity because of ahimsa. So you see that the Jains, they have a little brush, and everywhere they go, they brush their hat the whole time, and they wear this mask over their face so they won't breathe in any insects. But I saw one of these Jain priests get off an airplane recently. So I just think that you want to travel or something. It's tough, So the sinful activities are there. Even when you're doing very well. Even accidentally you can do things. There's a story about King Nrigar. was very, very pious and was giving cows and charities to the Brahmins. And somehow or other, one cow strayed to somebody else, strayed out of the right pen. And he ended up giving the same cow to another, that he gave to somebody else, to another one. And so then he had to take birth as a lizard for having stolen from a Brahmin. And so these kind of, when you see how exactly these laws are, it's quite terrifying. So anyway, so the pious activity point is piety is dangerous. One, you're still in the material world, and two, you can still have the opportunity to commit sinful activities. Just say you vote Republican or Democrat or whatever, you vote for the government, and then whatever the government does, you've got to share in it. Yeah, you know, whatever may be, you know. So it's difficult. So simple activities are worse, but then piety is also. So what to do about this? Again, also Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 18:66. He says to give up all other dharmas, all your other duties, and you just surrender to me. And then Prabhupada quotes, Krishna says, Aham tam sarva papibhyo mukshyami. I shall free you from all sinful reactions, Masajaha, don't worry about it. So he did, but he doesn't immediately. Wants to build up the whole picture in the test, Maharaj picture, to see if he's satisfied with this particular answer. But we have to understand this idea of sin and sinful reactions, because if I commit a sinful activity, although it may be in the dark of night and there are no witnesses, there are witnesses. And according to the laws of karma, there will be some future suffering for me. So even though I'm going along very happily, this suffering is stored up. It's called aparabdha karma. It's called karmic reactions that's not yet manifest. Parabdha karma are the reactions of past sins for which I am already suffering. And so those things that have already taken place, this is the parabdha karma. Some things are always the indicative of past sinful activities, chronic ill health, chronic legal problems is another one. You earn money, and then the doctors and the lawyers are agents of Maya who will come and take it all away. So these are all sinful reactions from which you are now suffering. For example, if one is born, there are certain things that are indicative of past pious activities that are usually mentioned. One is to be born in an elevated, good family. Another one is to be good looking. They always do these studies, they find out that people who look better, they make more money in business, and juries think they're telling the truth. And people who are ugly, they think they're lying. So it's definitely an advantage. Good looking, so many things are there. To have a good education is also good karma. So these things are to have money. This is past, And so the absence of these things is somewhere in the past lives are happening. We don't know, but these things have come to us. There's other things stored up in the future. at some time I performed some sinful activity. I'm not now suffering now. It's just like, you know, a guy steals and he's spending all his money and joy, but meanwhile the cops are working on the case, and you know he's going to get caught at a certain point. It's in the future. So we have all these piled up, this upharanga karma that's to come. Then that's one manifestation of upharanga karma. We perform the sinful activity, and some future suffering is stored up for us. That's our fate. That's our fate. It comes like fate. When it comes, there's nothing you can do to stop it either. Like, you know, you see President Nixon, for example. Prabhupada uses example because he was around in the Nixon administration. The guy just got re-elected, you know, was on top of his game, and there's this little thing that happened, this Watergate burglary. You know, as far as political crimes go, it's pretty small. The things that we don't know about and the things everybody gets away with is much bigger. But somehow or other, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and the guy finally had to resign. Everything he did to fix it made it worse. So his pious activities, whatever pious activities he done, if he come get a big position like a president, they ran out, and the upper of the sinful karma kicked in, and there was nothing he could do. Absolutely nothing he could do. So this is what happens. Another form of the upharaga, or unmanifest sinful reaction, is more subtle. It's called kuta. That is to say, when you perform a sin, another thing it does is make you want to do it again. or to the tendency is to be a repeat offender. Especially if there's no atonement or you don't feel sorry. You did a crime, you got away with it, and you want to do it again. You associate with criminal people, they're all into it. So when you commit a sinful activity, there's another, it increases the sinful mentality or disposition. And then there's another form of this sinful reaction. It's called bija, the seed of a sinful desire, the desire to do this, the desire to do that. So far I may not have done anything yet, but this desire is in my heart. It's just like a seed. It hasn't sprouted yet, but the seed is there. And so the general sinful mentality is a breeding ground for many seeds. Then the seeds result in the deed results in the flowering, the fruit of the thing, and I have to eat that fruit. And then I do, then it's like a source, like a cycle. We're caught up in it. So if we want to actually solve the problem of suffering, you have to deal with all of these things. So that's why the list of the first effects of devotional service is klesha, the destruction of klesha, or suffering. And that comes back because the sinful reactions start to go away. At first you may not see it because by performing devotional service, ultimately, you see, devotional service, this happens a little later on. For example, what is it, 6 to 17. A little later on in the narration of Ajamyo, second chapter, 6 to 17, it's mentioned about devotional service. We know that Ajamyo, at the time of death, when the agents of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, came to snatch him, just like in that movie Ghosts. Ghosts? No, Ghosts?
I don't know.
Yeah. I heard of, yeah. Anyway, in this movie, apparently, it's a ghost. Yeah, it's a Hollywood movie. And and somebody dies and you see these like dark figures come and grab it and pull him screaming out of his body. This is right out of the Bhagavatam. It says that if you're sinful, these Yama Dutta, Dutta means an agent or messenger of Yama, the Lord of Death, come and yank the sinful soul out of the body and pull them. It's all described, it'll be described later on what happens. So they were coming for him, but because he had accidentally, inadvertently chanted God's name at the time of death, they were stopped. Because of, there was some kind of, not even pure devotional service, but something was there. So here it says, although, this is text 17, although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through, and here various atonements, austerity, charity, vows, and other methods, tapa, dana, vrata, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires of one's heart. However, if one serves Isha Angri, the lotus feet of the Lord, he is immediately freed from all such contamination. So this will be the ultimate recommendation, that you're going to dig down and really mark out the junk and get to the root causes. So this is the point of this that we will get to later on in here. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
I found that it seems normally that Krishna Maharaj is being praised for the fact that he but at least he's willing to say, like, I'm not satisfied with what I'm told. Does that tell something about that? I don't know what to say, that the disciple is allowed to kind of like
Sure. Well, he did this. You'll see. First of all, when he's not satisfied with his answer, he says, it's as though he says, "Okay, that's good, but I have a further doubt about this answer." So we see that all the time that people perform atonement, but again they perform a sinful activity. So then they're going to go back down. They're still going to suffer. So, you know, you have to bring out the doubts for questioning. And he said the full conviction that everything can be answered.
You're talking about
sinful
activities, about how, you know, creating the feet is just a sinful because you have to desire. And what I was thinking is that your thoughts create your reality. You know, is that...
Yeah, to a large extent, it is.
And, but
it's not that you make the world is made for you, but where you're in it, and what you see, and what you don't see, and what you, that's all in this subtle body. You see, we have to understand, we're not the body.
Right.
But it also means we're not the mind.
Right.
The mind is a subtle body.
Mm-hmm.
So when the soul, leaves the body at the time of death, it takes with them the subtle body. And that subtle body, the sukshma sharira, is what has all these desires and thoughts and feelings in it. And then gets another gross body according to the condition of the subtle body. So in that sense, the subtle body creates your next birth. Of course, there are other agents who make this arrangement, but that's what happens.
Can I also say that, you know, people that get caught up in the karma, they're plagued by the three modes of ignorance, goodness, and passion?
Yeah, mostly the problem is passion and ignorance.
Okay.
The mode of goodness does not tend to produce sinful activities. You don't see it anymore, but it's...
That's right.
So it's always dangerous. Because when Krishna describes the three modes, he says they're always competing for supremacy. So long as you're in the material world, you may be situated in the mode of goodness, but there's a little passion there and there's a little ignorance there, and sometimes that can take over.
So it's best to just surrender to Krishna and not get caught up in the
karma. That's the point. Yeah.
There is Krishna was talking about the mind, the reality, making reality such that it is. Usually, we hear that at least in the realm in which we exist, the era, the Kali Yuga, things you think about can't really generate reaction. But they don't generate punishment karma.
Well, that's true.
Could one say that, taken generally, karma means the kind of condition you undergo in the world?
Yeah.
So if you think about things a lot, there's roots created, so it does.
Yeah, that's right. But he's saying that, for example, I may never want to force a woman to have sex because I know it's bad and it's not approved of and so on. But suppose I think of it. I see some woman, I think of it. But I don't do it. In previous ages before the Kali Yuga, thinking of it had the same karmic reaction as doing it. That's what he's talking about. But now, in this age, because people are so sinful, we are not punished in that way for just thinking about it. Fortunately. Nevertheless, thinking about it is not good, because sooner or later you may end up doing it and it produces a whole hellish mentality. So the thinking about it also does have a more subtle reaction, even if you're not punished for the sin.
Why do Christians afraid people from
thinking
about it as bad as doing it?
Well, it's not right now, but because Christians don't know anything about previous ages, even if you had a punishment for thinking about it, doing it is always a more severe reaction. But anyway, it just says that in previous ages, when humans were more elevated, human culture was more elevated, there was more stringent karmic rules applied. In this age, everyone's so degraded. So it is far better in our condition that one resists this. But Jesus says, at least as I heard it, doesn't say, help us resist temptation. He says, lead us not into temptation. That's a little higher level, huh? Please say so I don't even think that I do. Yeah?
So when you cook something, you take something and transform the state.
Oh, I think it's a different word. I looked it up. Yeah, it's not. It's apa, and then the word chiki. Yeah, I looked it up. Let's see if I wrote it down. Apa chiki. Yeah, the prefix apa. It means compensation, either recompense or retaliation, revenge, punishing. I've never seen that word before, so I looked it up in the Mona Williams. Huh? Yeah, chitti and then upper chitti. One T.
When you have
Which one are you talking about?
So you would say L and then Hatha?
Which word?
The last word of the first one. Yatam Asa.
Yatam Asa. Yeah, because, yes, in that case, that's how you do it. Sometimes, like, BH is actually, what we have there is like, Kani Bihi. That age is not a separate consonant. That's an aspiration. That's a sometime you have to sit down and give you a little Sanskrit lesson.
Okay.
You need to learn Sanskrit. Okay, good. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.